Welcome back to Tangential Banter. My name is Ben Mowell, and I'm here with my co-host, Jack Korzenowski.
Hey.
How's it been going?
It's been going good. Been a while since we did a recording.
Yeah, we were on hiatus a little bit. And but no more. We're back.
Let's hope so.
And for the first time ever, we have a special surprise for our listeners. A guest.
Would you care to introduce the guest there, Ben?
Oh, I was waiting for some loud applause and there was none. So that's a disappointment. But yeah, so today we have my roommate and friend, Luke Palandek, is joining us. Welcome,
What's
Luke.
What's up, guys? Good to be here.
Luke is
Go ahead, man. Well, I was going to say we're trying a new recording strategy. We were having some technical difficulties with our usual methods, so hopefully this will take care of some of the I don't know what you would call it, the mismatch or the discrepancy, like when we were apparently talking over each other in the last episode.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, so there's that, and hopefully we can make this work and get it out on the air, because this is our first time trying it this way. I think we're doing it through Zoom instead of through Anchor, so we have to like save the audio file and then import the audio file into the podcast program, and so we'll see if it works. If you're hearing me give this explanation, then it obviously worked. So
let's hope so.
All right, so we invited Luke to join us for a special topic today. So Luke, you care to introduce the topic for discussion?
Yeah, so here's the topic. It's something I've been thinking about for a while. I've been in college, and then I left college, and now I'm back in college. And there's a lot of majors in college, a lot of things you can choose to study, but not all majors are created equal. And so the question I wanted to pose to you guys today is, which majors are worth going to college for, and which aren't? And which maybe like 50-50, like might be worth it depending on the circumstances.
Do you have a?
I got some thoughts on that. But Luke, do you have anything that you wanted to bring in? Any opinions?
Yeah, kick us off.
Yeah, so I wanted to start with perhaps some of the obvious ones, like ones I think you definitely have to go to college for, and things you probably shouldn't go to college for. And then we can debate some of these, but here are some of my obvious go to college, not go to college for. So here we go. Okay. Obvious ones to go to college for. I would say teaching, because you need that degree, right, to teach. I would say engineering, and you guys could probably attest to this, that, you know, once again, you're gonna need that degree before you can get out there and start working for John Deere or wherever. Like psychology, a lot of things that require like research. Like you want to be in college where the research is happening. So like science, psychology, because you have to be in the classroom or in the classroom, but also like in those research labs working on stuff to like make progress towards your career. So those would be some of like the, okay, like you should obviously go to college for this. And then some of the you should not go to college for, I'd say a lot of them would fall in like the arts categories. Like let's say you majored in art, like painting. Like I don't think you need to go to college for that. I think you should just spend your time being a really good painter and save the $60,000 to open up your own studio. Or,
you know, I do, I'll let you continue. I just want to make this point now before I forget, or
go
before
ahead.
We go on a tangent, is I used to agree with you on that, but then the more I thought on it, I can see, and I can't confirm this is what they teach in the degrees, but I can see for art related professions that going to college would be the right path. And I used to not think that, but then I kind of sat and I thought on, I was like, hey, you know, wait a minute, maybe I'm thinking about this wrong. So I'll let you continue, but I want to loop back to that point, because that is something I thought about before. And now this is a great outlet for me to finally get it out there. So we'll loop back, continue.
Yeah. So mainly what I was saying with like the things you shouldn't go to college for mainly are art related, right? I mentioned art, like painting or I don't know, other forms of traditional art,
music or writing or
music,
interpretive dance.
Music depends on, like, are you going to teach music or not? Music gets a little complicated because if you're going to teach music, you should go to college for that. If you want to, like, play in an orchestra, like a professional orchestra, you have to go to college for that, from what I've heard.
You know, this is actually a good, I think there's really two sub questions to the original question, Luke. One of them is, okay, realistically, do you need to go to college to be successful at this profession? Like, does college actually give you any tangible skill, or does it actually give you a leg up on people who don't go to college for the given profession? Or is it just a piece of paper that you need to show that you're qualified? And that's the other question, is that, okay, you need this piece of paper to, like, or that's the other thing, right? What majors do you actually need to get a degree in to have a realistic chance of starting that profession, versus you can just get into that profession without going to college? So those are two different questions, right? One of them is, does college actually, do you need college to be good at the profession? And the other one is, do you need college to even get into it, regardless of your skill or your competence? You just need the degree for the sake of checking off a box on your job application. And those are two different questions. I would guess that the first question is what you're really getting at. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. Part of college is skills, but part of college is also, like, getting that certification, you might say, right?
Yeah. Regardless of, again, the point I want to make is, when it comes to that question, what professions do you need to go to college for just to check the box? I'm talking about, you could be the worst, let's use engineering as an example, right? John Deere isn't going to hire you for an engineering position unless you have that degree, although there are actually exceptions to that. But let's assume that there aren't. Let's assume that they absolutely need you to have that bachelor's degree in mechanical or agricultural or some other engineering school. I lost my train of thought. It's something to do with, you just need that check. You could be the worst engineer in the world. You can literally pick, like, a sophomore out of high school would be a better engineer than you. But because you have that box, you are now, quote unquote, qualified. So which professions fall into that bin where you need the degree to even start, versus the other question, which is, okay, let's get down to brass tacks. Do you really need to go to college for this profession to be good at it or to be effective at it? Those two different questions.
The more fundamental question, I think, that we used to have, need to have a basic understanding of or come to terms with, is, what is the purpose of college to begin with? Because if college is simply
now career prep, now we're going way back.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this is laying the foundation, right?
Now we don't have to answer
the question. Yes, but if college is just for career prep, I think that changes the question, or changes how I would answer the question, right? If we say college is, you know, really about just learning and becoming more well-rounded and having an experience that broadens your horizons, blah blah blah, I, you know, kind of the classical, what is university? You know, I think that maybe makes it a harder question to answer. If we say, in the modern world, college is about preparing you to have a successful career, then I think that makes the question a little bit easier to answer.
Which I think in general, it doesn't. It does not teach you how to be a good worker. It just gives you, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like, when I was in engineering school, my experience as an engineer is way different and much different than I thought it would be given my experience in school. But at least for engineering, and this actually touches on the whole thing about art that I was talking about, what the engineering school teaches you isn't how to be a good engineer. It just teaches you the background information that you need so that you can then go be an engineer. But the skills of how to be a good engineer are not generally not taught to you in school. So in other words, give me an example, like farming, for example, or not even digging a ditch. School, college would teach you what a shovel is. It would teach you how to use a shovel, how to pile up a thing of dirt, and maybe the different advantages of digging this trench in, like, this deep versus this wide, or things like that. But it doesn't teach you, like, if you actually go and need to dig a trench, now you need to figure out, okay, how deep do I need to make this? Or what am I actually trying to do here? It gives you the tools and the information you need, but it doesn't help you implement them when you have like an application that actually needs to be solved.
Yeah. So maybe going back to the engineering comparison, I would say, to get an engineering degree, you've got to do a lot of math and physics and science that help you understand how the world works, right?
Which you don't have to do that in engineering. We got Excel spreadsheets for that.
Well, no, that's what I mean. But so that's like the college path to engineering. If you just did like an internship, say you had no formal engineering training, you did some like an engineering internship, you could learn the ins and outs of what an engineer does on a daily basis and probably be successful in that job without all the formal education. Now, you might end up making some mistakes that would injure people or like cause property damage or whatever, right? Like that's a real possibility because you wouldn't like fundamentally know the physics of what you're working on. But I think like the actual execution of the job, you could do just fine without that degree. Going back to your point of the college degree doesn't necessarily train you how to do the job. It just gives you the background information basically.
Yeah. Like you can go and be realistically, you can start as an intern and work your way up and be a good engineer. But when it comes to the nitty gritty technical details, all you know is that very contextualized equations that you don't understand, but you just know if you plug in X, Y, and Z, your result is A, but you don't understand why that equation is that way or some of the other maybe implications of what happens if we change this or change that.
Right.
That's what the degree helps you. It gives you a fundamental, okay, this is how physics works. This is how math works. This is how heat transfer works. So then you can, statics and dynamics, all these technical things that relate to designing and building stuff to do this or that. This is how like cyclic fatigue works. This is how cracking propagates. But that doesn't help you. It's a, hey, Johnson, did you give me that TPS report? I need that by 2. It doesn't help you fill out a TPS report. You know, it doesn't actually help you with your day to day. It just gives you that background information that you need so that when you see all these equations and all these technical details, you understand what's going on.
Which you would say is still helpful, right?
I would say that is in many cases necessary. So I wouldn't even say although I agree with Ben that you can be an effective engineer day to day, I think if you missed out on all that technical training, you can only rise so far before you're going to start because there will be people who will need to make decisions based on physics and math. And if they don't understand the fundamentals of the technical side of things, they're going to get people killed. That's what happened. There was that, it was a while ago. There was some contractor who was building like this walkway in like this Texas hotel. And they needed to make a change, or he made a change to like the way it was constructed for some, it was a pretty trivial reason. Like they were out of parts and they wouldn't get parts for like a couple of days. So he just decided to kind of jerry-rig it in a certain way that according to him seemed like it'd be perfectly fine. But the way he actually designed it made it like only half as strong as it should have been. And then there was some convention where there was a bunch of people on this walkway. It was like 80 people on this walkway because it was a lot weaker than it should have been. It collapsed. And I don't know how many people on the walkway, because the walkway collapsed during this really populated, busy event, like 80 people died.
Is that the one where it collapsed on the roadway?
No, it was like in a hotel. It was like this walkway was between two buildings or like across like this big gap and there's a bunch of people below it and they ended up dying or it ended up falling on them. It had, again, this is something where I would need to draw it out, but there was basically like this threaded rod and I'm not even try describing it with words. You need a diagram to show it out, but it was this change that seemed really small. And unless you knew the goings on about how loading and bending moments and all this technical stuff works, you wouldn't have been able to pick out the problem. Mm. And he didn't. And it got people killed.
Which isn't to say that engineers couldn't make the same mistake, but they've been trained so as to make the likelihood of that mistake much lower.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because of your concept of math and physics, you'd be less likely to make that mistake. Mm-hmm. So I think we can agree that college helps engineers, gives them the context for math and physics and all that stuff. So in general, it helps engineers become good engineers.
Hold on, we're getting some echo, I think, from, I would guess, from Ben's mic.
You're hearing echo? I don't hear any echo.
I was here. Well, yeah, because it's through your microphone, I think.
You're still hearing it?
I think we hear. Luke, can you talk?
Talk.
I didn't hear it there. Maybe you're just speaking a little louder when I heard it. I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway, sorry to cut you off there, Luke.
So, yeah, I think for the sake of today's discussion.
There's the echo again.
Yeah, there's the echo.
Maybe just whisper.
For the sake of today's discussion.
Is that better? It is better. I don't hear it.
Okay. I was going to not get too excited here. So for the sake of today's discussion, I think it's better just to talk in generalities because we can get specific and say, okay, you know, this kid genius could become an engineer without having gone to college and figured out the training and the stuff, you know. But for the sake of like covering a variety of majors and the amount of time we have today, perhaps we should just talk more in generalities. Okay, generally, let's say, you know, for engineers, if you go to engineering school, that will pay off, right? Like typically you need to go to school, to college, to become an engineer.
To be an effective engineer, you mean?
Effective engineer.
Like a good one.
Yes.
Yes. So you both need the piece of paper because a lot of companies are going to require you to have an engineering degree, and you need the education behind that piece of paper to do a good job at that. So it meets both criteria of the training and the checkbox.
Yep.
But we're only talking about the training aspect, right? We're going to ignore this piece of paper acting as a qualification, because then I think the conversation kind of becomes moot and.
Well, I'd like to, at least when we get done with the rest of it, I think it would be interesting to talk about which degrees require, or which careers require you to have a degree that maybe don't really need them. Because I think there are some out there, but we can definitely pause that until we're done with the rest of that conversation.
This gets back to what I was saying at the beginning. I think that's a separate discussion than what Luke wants to touch right now.
Yeah, which is where we can pause.
Perhaps the conversation is which degrees make financial sense? Which degrees get you a good return on your investment?
Well, hold on. That does bring into the question of, okay, which jobs do you need a degree for versus maybe it's just preferential? I thought you were talking more about which degrees will help you be a better X.
Yeah, it's that. But I also think of things in a lot of like investing. So like, okay, what gets you a good return on your investment?
Oh, sure. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Then this is a different discussion than I thought it was. So.
Man, there's so much nuance to this.
I know, right?
I thought this was going to be black and white. Like, this is worth it. This is not worth it.
This is what I love about
you guys are so smart. You bring all this nuance into it.
Oh, well, I'm not gonna turn that down.
Let's get onto a tangent of how smart we are. That sounds like a
I think this is one thing that my time as an engineer has helped me with. You can start seeing like all these little, as you said, nuances with the question that you, a lot of times, like I've never done this, but you know, the guys building the SR-71 Blackbird or guys building a space shuttle or like a battleship or even just a car, you know, there's a lot of these unseen nuances that come up when you start digging into this stuff that have to be addressed.
I think I get that a lot with photography. People will ask, like, what kind of camera do you use? Or what are your settings? And it's like, the question doesn't really make sense. Like they're trying to connect, right? And have a conversation starter. But like the more you know about it, the less the question makes sense because you understand that it's all based on the context of the situation. So what I'm using now isn't going to make sense 30 seconds from now, or, you know, it's not going to make sense on a different camera or for a different person. So yeah, the more you understand about a topic, the more nuance there obviously is.
Yeah. For photography, I'd imagine you just have to find the right thing to take a picture of. That's probably 90% of it.
Especially with how good cameras are today. You have to be able to see the picture that you want to take and see something interesting in what most of us would consider mundane. And then if you can do that, you can use any camera really, and you're going to get a good result.
And set it up. I would imagine like getting at the right angle, the right perspective, the right distance, all yeah, that matters. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. That's where the skill of photography comes in, knowing how to do that stuff.
Yeah. It's more the skill than the tool.
Yeah. And yes. Actually, that, and I don't know if this is where we want to go, Luke, and I'm actually less sure that than it is given the whole.
Just go ahead.
All right. So the thing about the art degrees I was talking about before, I used to think, and this applies to the photography thing, or I'm going to use maybe photography as an example, or painting is another, or drawing or illustrating is another one too, where I used to think that, you know, this is art related stuff, right? The more technical that you get into it, the less creative you're going to be, because you're trying to resort to all these rules and guidelines, and everything's going to be cookie cutter, and that sort of goes against the concept of being creative and unique, and you're letting it just flow out of you. But what I came to realize as I was thinking about, hey, engineering school doesn't teach you how to be a good engineer. It just gives you the background knowledge. It gives you the tools that you then need to put into practice as an engineer, which when you're learning those tools and gaining that background knowledge, it's completely different than your experience as an engineer. Again, engineering degrees don't teach you how to be a good engineer. They just give you the background information so that you can start being an engineer. And I was thinking, wait a minute, maybe that's what happens in art schools and writing schools too, where they don't teach you how to be a good painter. They don't teach you how to be a good writer. They just say, hey, here are tools that you can use to paint or to draw or to write. For example, this is how you can shade a character. This is like in a painting. This is how you can get a more, this is how you can portray a character like in a book more emotionally than if you didn't know this, or here's like some tips and tricks for setting the scene. But it doesn't teach you what scene to set. It doesn't tell you a story to tell. You still have to come up with the creative elements yourself, but now you have all this repertoire of tools to help you do it. It doesn't teach you how to paint a beautiful sunset. It just teaches you how to meld colors, how to have things reflecting off water realistically. It teaches you how to realistically reflect things off water in painting, but it doesn't teach you what to reflect off the water. It doesn't teach you when to put water in your painting versus not. That's still on the artist. But now it gives you the tools on how to do it, where it helps you just take the idea in your head and put it on the canvas or put it on the page. But you still have to supply that creative element.
The other,
that's where the good artist.
Do you have a friend, or do you know anyone who has went to art school and has said that exact same stuff? Like,
no. So this is all speculation. I don't know if that's what they teach you in school, but that's what I was. That's where I was sort of like, hey, maybe art school isn't just a waste of time.
So I can
potentially
go ahead. School for something artistic originally didn't make sense to me, because you can't teach somebody be creative, but that's not what they're teaching you, as far as I can think about it.
Yeah. So Jack, I think a couple thoughts I have, like one of my uncles did take some art classes in college. I don't know if he actually got a degree or not, but one of the things I remember him saying was that he does a lot of sketching and stuff with pencils, and he talked about how much time he spent just practicing how to draw straight lines and how important the fundamental ability to draw a straight line was to drawing. And I was like, well, you don't need to go to art school to do that, right? Like I can just sit at home and practice drawing straight lines, but maybe they teach you better methods for how to get straighter lines or whatever. You can kind of improve that technique. So I think part of college is that most of us, there's enough resources. Yeah, go ahead.
Or they just teach you that learning how to draw straight lines is really important. That may not have come to you if you never went to school, and then all your drawings would suffer from that, and you would never really understand that they're suffering.
Sure. I think what I was getting at is that college provides a framework for learning that a lot of us wouldn't have ourselves, right? So there's people who are curating all this knowledge about a topic and saying, this is what's important and relevant, and this is less important or less relevant. And so whereas there are enough resources out there today on YouTube or wherever you want to go, you can get the information. You can, you know, say, oh, here's what somebody says, and you can learn it yourself. You don't need college for that part of it necessarily. But a lot of us don't, I guess I would say, need the support that college provides of having an instructor, having accountability, actually investing time and money into the program to help keep us on track, you know, which ultimately, in a lot of cases, is for that degree that says, hey, you did all this work, you learned all these things. But it's part of it is the structure around learning that helps you, keep on track and not just go off into the weeds. You know, how long should I spend practicing straight lines versus not? You know, should I use different pencil sizes? All those kinds of things. I think those are things that you get from college that you wouldn't necessarily if you just picked it up on your own. Now, having said that, you could go find a really good artist and apprentice from them, right? Like you could just say, hey, I really like this guy's style and I want to be like him, like kind of the more Eastern type of teaching where it's, hey, I want to be like this person. They're going to teach me to do what they do. And so maybe it's not as broad of an education as college, but you can still certainly pick up the same techniques, the same style, you know, and ultimately be as good or better than your mentor.
And that's what I see in art is that, like you mentioned, Ben, there's a variety of resources out there with the internet and YouTube. And like, so let's take me as an example. Like I make music in my spare time. I never went to school for music. Like everything I've learned has been through YouTube, through the internet, through other people who are making music. And that has, and just through trial and error as well. That's been my experience with music and how I've made music. And considering I don't make any money off of my music right now, like that is probably the most cost-effective and for me at least, like it makes sense. Like considering like what I'm getting out of it, like it's just cheaper to use the internet and use other my friends and other resources to learn as opposed to go to school and spend $10,000, $20,000 to learn, potentially learn more than what I've learned so far, but also like then I have that debt that I gotta pay off, and because I'm not making a lot of money off my music, it just wasn't very cost effective for me to go to school.
I think part of that comes down to how can you in whatever skill you're trying to demonstrate, how can you actually prove to the person who would hire you that you can do what you say you can do, right? So the example you gave of making music, you can actually record a song and you can bring it in and say, hey, this is a song that I made, and they don't really, ultimately they're going to listen to the song and they're either going to like it or they're not. They don't care if you have a degree in music or if you recorded it under a bridge, like they want the music. Versus in engineering, I can't really, no company is going to let me walk in and say, hey, look, I engineered this widget or whatever. You should hire me based on that. Right. Like that's not something that happens or that people would take. I mean, maybe in some very rare instances it happens if you got kind of an eccentric owner or something, but
yeah, that would be an exception. Definitely.
Right. That'd be like the one in a million case. Most places are not going to accept a project or some kind of a product as an example of what's, you know, your engineering capability.
So they would still demand a degree. You're saying that they wouldn't take that over a degree.
It wouldn't be a substitute for a degree. So I think what we're getting at a little bit here is that the degree in a field like engineering is like a proof of the product that you're capable of producing, because you can't, it's not reasonable or feasible to actually produce that product as a proof of your capability. Whereas something like music or whatever, you can actually just do it right there, or, you know, bring something in and go, here you go. This is the proof, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it shows on top of, I 100% agree with you that degrees ultimately are, particularly for technical fields like engineering or anything science related, or even other technical stuff like teaching's another one, where you have this piece of paper that says, I'm qualified to do this job. And the employer is going to see that as a much less riskier option than somebody who doesn't have that, because the person with the degree has spent the money, has spent the time. They know what this person has been taught, because there's a core set of, you know, standards that they have to meet in order to get that degree. Yep. So it's much less risk. It's less risky for them to accept somebody with a degree than not, because they don't know, is this on a whim? How skilled is this person? Even if they did produce this widget or this music, score? Was it just a fluke? You know, I don't know. But if they have that degree and say, wow, he's been doing this for 4 years and he got this high of a GPA, yeah, he's probably going to do pretty well here.
And if you think about it, it's kind of like you, as a student, you're basically paying an independent third party to to assess your skill at whatever your chosen career path is, right? And then whoever your employers are says, yeah, we trust that independent third party. You spent your own money invested over the past 4, 5, 6 years, whatever, to get that assessment. And so we can say with at least 75% certainty or whatever your GPA was coming out that you've mastered the skills necessary to be successful in this job. And you still have to learn the job, but you have the skills necessary to learn the job. So it's...
I gotta disagree. I don't think it's the skills, at least, or certainly the degree isn't all-encompassing. Engineering school not teach you how to... engineering school actually hurts your ability to write technical papers. I believe that wholeheartedly. Why? And this is specific to engineering and maybe science-related fields. I don't know about teaching. I don't know about psychiatry, any of those unrelated topics. But one thing that really irks me, and this is a bit of a tangent about engineering schools, is that when you have to write like lab reports or papers of any kind, they imply that you should, this should be a long paper. This should be lengthy. You should not skip on anything. Use as much terminology as you can. Whereas in the engineering world, it's, hey man, like I'm in between meetings right now. I have 80 emails I got to get through. Like just brass tacks. What's going on with this test? What are the results?
Right.
TLDR.
What's the TLDR on this? It's like, and when I was in engineering school, they don't teach you to do that. They teach you to do the exact opposite of that, where as an engineer, you need to be able to convey your point, test results. You have to, if you discovered a problem, you have to convey whatever it is, you have to convey it in as few words as possible.
Well,
and
Jack,
they do not teach you to do that in engineering school.
If you think about that, though, I mean, it's kind of, it kind of can be expected because a lot of professors in technical fields, you know, they got their undergraduate, they went immediately and got their master's or their doctorate. And so they've spent their whole career writing academic papers. And so they equate technical papers with academic papers, which isn't really the case. I mean, if you're doing something for like some of the major trade organizations, then yes, they kind of keep that academic format. But yeah, you're right. There's no, the efficiency of communication is severely undervalued in engineering school versus real life, right?
Like yeah.
Nobody wants 40 pages of your references. They want to know what decision needs to be made or what decision you made and why they should care about it.
Yeah. And that's just one aspect of engineering that they do not do. And as I said, they actually hurt your ability to do that because they train you to write these really long, laborious papers. But then you go in the engineering, it's like, hey, man, 3 sentences, explain the situation, go. And they don't teach you to do that. And another one is maybe project management, nothing to do with that in school or communicating just with people, like, because you're never able to get the whole project done yourself. You're always relying on other people and other teams, and they don't teach you anything related to that. But your point that, you know, it's, these are academics, you know, they got their degree and then they went right into academia. So they're not teaching you how to write a paper as an engineer would. Say, hey man, I'm not in engineering school to become an academic. Teach me the skills I need to be an engineer. That's why I'm here. And if they're failing that, that's a failure on their part. I don't want this. At the end of the day, they can have excuses all they want, but at the end of the day, I'm not as effective as an engineer as I ought to be, or at least could be from school. Now, when I had professors that were in the engineering field, you could just tell right away that they were professionals rather than academics, because their teaching style, what they assigned and what deliverables they expected were so starkly different. And we're much more in line with what you'd expect from an engineering field. And those are the best professors. They're also the most relatable and personable on top of the ones that would teach you most effectively.
So
sorry, that was a bit of a tangent. We didn't have to get into
coming back to Luke's... is a bunch of BS, huh?
Yeah, just a wee bit there, Luke, just a wee. Or if you, if you are a pure academic, by which I mean you went to school for some sort of field and then you went right into teaching it without any real world experience of doing it, I will trust that person's expertise or at least their ability to teach me. a lot less than somebody who actually did, you know, brass tacks, let's get this done. Because then you are, as we talked about earlier, you're going to discover all these little nuances that you come across only when you're actually trying to do the thing that then you can teach later on.
And academic engineering research is very different than like R&D within, you know, a corporate environment. So I think that's a big difference too. But coming back to Luke's question, I want to kind of turn back to that a little bit here. And I keep thinking about one of the things that I see a lot of friends or people that I know have run into that for me would be an immediate red flag of the return on investment for a program would be the requirement for what almost always amounts to an unpaid internship after graduation. So like, hey, you've got this degree, and oh, by the way, you're going to have all these internships that don't pay you anything, either over the summers or part of your final year or whatever, before you're actually going to be considered qualified for this field. And I don't know, it's just foreign to me because like in engineering, you can always, I think pretty much always get a paid internship. I think, you know, if you're talking about residency as a medical person, you know, they're being paid for that, I believe. So to me, that's something where if I were evaluating a degree program and was like, hey, is this going to be worth my time and money? If you come out the back end and you have to do something for free immediately to be considered acceptable, that should be a warning sign.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's funny because that's what I have to do for teaching. If you think about it, I have to do a semester student teaching, which essentially I am in teaching intern, but I don't really get paid. I just teach the class, but I don't get paid for it. So,
yeah. But is that still part of the degree though? Like you haven't actually graduated at that point, right?
Yeah, you need a student teach before you graduate.
I love how there's the whole upheaval about, you know, teachers unions and, you know, teachers have to be paid well and everything, but then they turn around and, oh, but we're not going to pay internships for teaching. No, we can't do that. It's like, come on, people. Like, that's
I think just in general, like
when they say stuff like that,
someone is,
it makes you less
sympathetic. If someone is working, you should pay them.
Yeah.
Not internship. If they work for you, you should pay them.
Yeah.
Also, the argument for paying NCAA athletes. There it is. If they work for you.
Yeah. Well, they are getting paid. They're getting free college scholarships.
In some cases. Which you can make the argument that is their payment. Like they're getting a free education. That's their payment for.
But in a lot of cases, they showed they're not actually getting an education, right? Like, was it UNC and other places that basically had fraudulent programs just to keep their athletes eligible. And so they weren't actually getting the education that was being promised them. So it was just like a athletics farm essentially coming through. Mm. But anyway, I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole, but
yeah. All right. That's a tangent we can come back to, or you guys can come back to at a later time.
I don't know too much about college sports. It's something that kind of makes me upset because I'll reiterate, I don't understand a lot of it. So a lot of what I could say about it is just pure uneducated speculation. So not very valuable. And then two, it just upsets me how it's like, wait, you're telling me that I have to pay money to be here and I'm getting less benefits than somebody who's getting in here for free. A college athlete, that is. Do they get less credits per semester? They get, you know, scholarships and say, hey, man, I'll go out and run on a field if it gets me free college.
It the scholarships, but it's all the resources, the tutors, the access to like, you know, like their training facilities and the clubhouses. Like
I see all that. And I'm like, oh, wow, they're getting the premium membership. They must be paying a lot for tuition. Oh, no, they're getting it for free. Oh, well, I'm paying more than them, so I should get more benefits than them, right? No, you get less. It's like,
but on the flip side,
they are making money for the school. I mean,
that's true.
If it's football or men's basketball, those are really the only two sports that make money for the school. But those two sports, depending on the school, can make the school a lot of money.
Well, and here's another question.
That's how you justify it, I guess.
Colleges are a place, or they ought to be, a place where you can get an education and maybe secondary to that, perform research and development. Why in the world are sports, football, basketball, or other sports, such an integral part of the college economy? Because then it does introduce problems like what we're discussing for no reason.
I feel like there's probably a pretty easy answer to that question if we research the history of college sports in the U.S., but I don't know off the top of my head.
I'm not asking the question, how did it come to this? I'm saying, why did it come to this in the first place? And I don't mean why as in what were the mechanics. I mean, philosophically, why did we allow it to turn into what it has? Why didn't somebody put their foot down and say, hey, wait a minute. And you know what, Ben? The answer is probably going to be because of the money.
Probably. That's usually the answer.
The money, but also just people love sports. People love watching basketball. Love watching football, the competition.
But why would colleges care for that? Oh, because we can make money off of it. And then it ultimately boils back down to money.
I mean, that's
people love ice cream. People love ice cream, right?
The sports also build a brand too, right? Like think of like Duke, right? Like what is Duke known for? Men's basketball, right? It's part of their brand now. It's like it's part of that Duke experience is watching, you know, the team play basketball, win championships. It's become part of their brand. You know?
That's true. It's like advertising.
But that shouldn't be a deciding factor for where am I going to go to college to get an education.
That's funny.
Duke's got a cool basketball program. I'll go there
people,
and get a doctorate. It doesn't make sense.
I have heard stories of people saying, I went to Kansas or I went to Alabama because they've got a really good sports team.
That is a dumb decision.
That brings us back to what I would say is a big component of this problem, which is that the pipeline to college is altogether too wide. We're trying to send too many people to college. We've created this mega machine for pumping out degrees. And so there are a bunch of people going to school without any clear direction of what they want to do with the degree that they get. So I'd say that's a bigger problem than which degree you get, is not having an idea of what you want to do with it or why when you go into the pipeline. And so you have people, instead of deciding to go to school because, hey, I want to go to the best teaching school or the best engineering school, or I want to go to a teaching school that's near me that I can afford, you've got people deciding to go to Kansas because of their basketball program and they want to be in the student section. That's not a legitimate reason to decide where to go to school. And so
no matter which degree they get,
it's like, what are you going to come out of that experience with? I mean, maybe you'll figure out the error of your ways while you're there, but they didn't go to school with the intent of getting an education, using it to further, you know, their career prospects. They went for, you know, a sport.
And you know what, Luke, to hit on the question that we started off with, you know, which degrees are actually worth getting, the degree that is the most worthless is the degree that you do not use afterwards. How many times do you hear stories of people getting a degree in communications or political science, and then they go and then they graduate and they get a job completely unrelated to what they went to college for?
See, I wouldn't say that's totally true, Jack, because I know people who got a degree and then from that learned that they didn't want to do that thing, or they had an idea for a business when they were getting that degree. And so they finished their degree just to have it, but then they launched their own business or whatever. So I think it's really, did you learn a lesson from the degree, and are you making use of that lesson? Which in some cases might mean that you're not making use of your degree itself, but what you've learned as a result of that degree.
I can understand your point, and I would agree with it, not just understand it, that if you go in for a degree and you learn that, hey, this isn't what I thought it would be, or hey, I actually don't like this, hey, you know what? That's going to happen. That's the risk. And that's perfectly acceptable. But when people just go and they just finish the degree just to have it, and then they go into a role or a job that's completely unrelated to, I don't have sympathy to that. Why did you get this degree? Did you go just because you thought you needed a degree? And I think that is that they fell prey to a problem that you mentioned about 5 minutes ago, Ben, where we've come up with this mega machine just to pump out degrees. And there's this widespread assumption that you need to go to college. You need to go to college, otherwise you won't have good money. Even though people go to college, they spend a bunch of money to have a degree that they don't use. And now they're right back to square one, but now they're in $100,000 worth of debt.
Yeah.
They would have been better off not going to college.
Yeah. I think we're starting to see more and more teenagers realize that.
Good.
And I think we're seeing like more gap years. We're seeing more people just like right out of like high school, just working and like trying to figure out, okay, what am I good at? What do I want to have a career in? Cause like when I went to college the first time, it was still very much like, you should go to college. Like, all right, you go to high school, then you go to college. Like, that's just the logical next step. Like, you don't know what you want to study. That's fine. We'll figure it out there. Which for me, like, wasn't a great way to go about it, because then I spent a lot of time on a degree that I really, at the end of the day, didn't like a whole lot and haven't been using a whole lot.
There you go. You're the poster child for my point, Luke. And I think there are a lot of people there are a lot of people who fall into that bin where they come out of college saying either don't want to do what I got a degree in, or I just got this degree for whatever reason and now I don't know what to do. And I think part of that is their fault for kind of not thinking things through. But then there's also, as I already mentioned, this very widespread, very heavy burden placed on high school students. Go to college. Don't think about it, man. Just go. And say, whoa, we're pressuring these kids, again, to go into hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt, or at least tens of thousands of dollars. And they don't understand why. They don't even understand if they should go to college. Like, let's take a step back here. I think it's ridiculous that it is expected that every 18-year-old go to college, even if they don't understand what they want to do. Because really, at the end of the day, do people who are 18 years old really have a good grasp on what they should be doing for the rest of their life? I don't think so. I don't think a lot of people in middle age, like their middle ages don't, or middle age people don't understand that. You got to take a step back, breathe, and figure out what do I want to do for a career? And then make the decision, should I go into college or not? And Luke, when you said that there's a lot of people taking break years, that's good. I think people, if people need to take that sabbatical and need to think it through, take all the time you need. Because if you don't take it, you are going to end up wasting 4 years and a lot of money. So it's better to just waste 2 years and no money. Heck, you can even get money. You could be working.
Yeah, make money.
Yeah. So take that sabbatical. It's worth, I think, taking time off between high school and college is worth it. If really, even if you just say, I don't know what's going to happen. I just know I don't know what I want to get for a degree, so I'm not going to go in. I would respect that a lot more than if somebody said, yeah, I'm going to college. I don't know what I want to do for a career yet, but I'm in college. It's like, why? Why are you in college then?
I think there's another.
Listen, Uncle Jack.
I think there's another component that's mixed in there, which is for most people, going to college is their first real experience living apart from their parents. And so
you don't need to spend tuition to figure that out.
I'm not making that point. What I'm saying is your identity develops.
We're just jumping all over Ben right now.
Give me a second here. Your identity develops a lot after you're out of your parents' house, right? And so I think part of the challenge is you get people who are going to college because their parents pressured them or their friends are going or whatever, or they think it's the right thing to do. You know, they think they have a plan and then they get out on their own and life hits them in the face, or they discover that, oh, if my parents aren't making me do X, Y, or Z, I'm not going to do it. And I don't actually enjoy it. And then in that couple years of college, that's where you start to realize, oh, this is who I actually am going to be as an adult, like taking care of myself and the decisions that I'm going to make. And that changes the trajectory that you're on. It changes what you value and what you want to do with the rest of your life. So I think the gap year, or, you know, couple of years even of just being out on your own, doing your own thing as an adult, could be really helpful and informative as inputs into that college experience of like, okay, I've been by myself for 2 years. I've traveled a little bit. I've worked a little bit. You know, I worked two jobs where I really liked interacting with customers, but I hated doing paperwork. And so maybe I should find a degree where I get to spend time with people or whatever, you know, like you can learn things out of that time that you wouldn't have any way to know unless you took time off before you went into college, or maybe you worked jobs in high school, whatever. But I think part of it comes from just being out of your parents' house, being an adult, living on your own, making your own decisions.
Yeah. And I think if you go into college with a game plan, but that game plan changes partway through, like, again, you realize you don't like what you thought you would, that, hey man, that's that you, again, like what you said, you learned something, you went in with a plan, you had to change the plan because things changed. That's perfectly, I don't even want to just say it's acceptable. Like that's a good way of going about things, because what other way could you really have gone? You're not going to know if you're going to like that degree unless you start trying to, like, actually trying to do it. I'm more talking about when people go in without a game plan. They just go to college, just right. Go to college, man. That's what I don't like. If you do think, I want to be a police officer, I want to be an accountant, I want to be an engineer, and you go to school for that and you find out you don't like it, so I have to change my major. Okay, now I got to think about this. Completely different situation. And when that happens, I have sympathy for those people because it kind of sucks to be in that situation.
Yeah,
and I have to double back.
I could say from my college experience, that was our communications program, was the people who went to college not knowing what they wanted to do for a career. And I would say probably a fifth of the people that I knew in that program actually had a plan for what they were trying to achieve with their communications degree. Everybody else was there to be in college because they thought it was the right thing to do, and they were going to figure it out along the way and didn't what really have a plan going in.
What do you get with a communications degree?
Good question.
Like what's the end goal there?
Yeah. Okay. So speaking as someone myself with a communications degree.
Oh boy. I shouldn't have prefaced this whole situation with, we're probably going to offend a lot of people, or at least we have the potential. And apparently Luke is potentially.
We're punching down on Luke right now.
First it was Ben. Now it's Luke. So I'm probably going to be next. So I'll get myself mentally prepared.
Yeah. Beatdown's coming. No. Okay. So I've made peace with what I did the first time in college and the mistakes I made. And I realized I made a handful of mistakes. One of them being what I chose for my major. So I studied something in the communications field called electronic media, which deals more with like TV, radio, broadcasting, all that sort of stuff. And so the end game initially for me was to work in some sort of production house, like perhaps do TV broadcasts for sports, or maybe radio, or maybe news, you know, whatever it could be. The thing is, like, along the way, I realized two things. One, I wasn't passionate about that stuff as I thought I was as a freshman. And secondly, some of the classes I was in ill prepared me to actually be in that newsroom or in that TV station or in that radio station, because we just weren't being taught the practical skills we needed. Like when we started the job, like, all right, do you know how to edit? Do you know how After Effects works? Do you know how Photoshop works? Do you know how Lightroom works? You know, like all these different tools of the trade.
Which sounds kind of like, what I was getting at earlier, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree? Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's other things within communications. So there's like the general communications degree, which I'm trying to remember what exactly is in that. But another more specialized form of communications is PR. And that's like, it's public relations, right? Like crafting a message for the people, right? Like, well, I guess it's kind of marketing in a way too, right? Like crafting a message for the public, or deciphering stuff that you're hearing from the public and bring it back to the organization. So anyway, communications, right? Yeah. But it is broad. And as I think back to like my peers that I graduated with, like a few of them ended up like in a job that required that degree. But I think a lot of them didn't, because either like lack of game plan or lack of connections or just lack of skills.
No game plan.
Thanks, Pete Carroll.
No, Luke, I think, from what you're saying, it sounds like you were at least more prepared than a lot of people that I went to school with, because they were literally just getting the general communications degree. Mm-hmm. And so like you're talking about, you went after a specific degree in the communications program to aid you in getting a job in that area, and like you had that plan, and ultimately that wasn't the path you went down, but like you were you had something in mind, you were steering in that direction and, you know, trying to get the qualifications for the job that you wanted, versus somebody who just picked communications because it had the lightest course load to get a bachelor's degree, basically. But going back to your point earlier of the ROI and the unpaid internships for teaching, I would agree. I think, honestly, I think going into teaching right now, I don't know how we get people to do it, because I feel like it's, when you look at the payoff, it's really, you're investing in lives. And that's like, hey, congratulations, you're making a difference in the world, right? Like, that's what we're expecting people to see as worthwhile, because we don't really compensate teachers what they're worth in terms of their contribution to society, in my personal opinion. So I don't know. I feel like it's a tough spot to be in. And I think it's long-term, it's not sustainable. And I think you see the US ranks and all the different subjects kind of slipping year by year. And I think in large part has something to do with our education system, and probably has to do with the way teachers are compensated.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. I think the part of the problem is, like, it's hard to quantify impact on a person. Like, how do you quantify that? Like 10,000 books read, or I don't even know. Like, with business, it's a lot more quantifiable, right? Like, I sold 1 million widgets last year. Like, that's my impact. 1 million widgets sold. Like, it's easier to see the return on the investment. And therefore, people are putting a lot of money into certain businesses because they can see that return on impact very clearly in the terms of dollars and cents. When it comes to education and other stuff like it, it's like, you can't quantify. I guess there's like, that's why we take tests, right? Like, there's like the Common Core tests that kids have to take. Like, all right, you got an 84% on your math test. Congrats. You know, like, but the thing's like, developing the skills of being a lifelong learner and just the mentorship that comes with teaching, and like how a good teacher can influence students in a positive way. Like, you can't quantify those things. So it makes it harder for people to lay down their money and say, all right, like, let's spend more tax dollars on education.
Right. I think one of the things that stands out to me is that the truly outstanding teachers, at least from my experience, and I think for a lot of people, they made you like a subject that maybe you didn't, or you started thinking about careers in the field that they taught because you really enjoyed the subject that they taught on. And so, like, if I were going to quantify something, which it would be really hard to measure, but it'd be like, how many students, you know, came out of your class going, I want to be in this field, whether it's math or English or whatever, you know, like, I want to do something in this field because of the way that so-and-so taught this class, right? Like, they opened my eyes to see what it could be, or that it could be fun or whatever. Like, to me, that's kind of the spread of the impact. And because ultimately, if somebody makes that decision based on a class that you teach, like, that's their entire life's earnings, right? If you're trying to quantify it in like dollars and cents, you've just changed someone's career path by them finding excitement or joy in the topic that you instruct, right?
Yeah.
I think it's also important too, if you can find out, like Ben, you mentioned people who want to like realize, hey, I want to go into this career path now because of that teacher or because of that class. I think it's also important to quantify and account for people who are like, now I know I don't want to go into that field.
Yes, 100%. And I was thinking about that too, and just forgot to make the point. So thank you. That's been true for me too. I had professors in college who I had for one class, and they were so awful, I said never again. And so I intentionally avoided classes that I wanted to take because they were the only instructor for that class. And so I missed out on some subject matter that I would have enjoyed learning because the professor was atrocious.
And the point I wanted to make about, you know, people who say, I know I don't want to be in that field. It's more a point, not that the teacher was bad. I'm not sure if that's what you thought I meant, but just that the teacher portrayed that material so clearly that people now know, hey, that's not what I want to do.
Sure.
Now that I have a clear picture of what that field is, or what this subject, math, science, literature, now that I know what the nitty gritty is of this stuff, I don't want to commit my career to that.
But I would,
because there's a lot of people, you could have a really good math teacher, but there are people who just don't want to get into math. And if you have a math teacher, it's not really teaching it clearly. The people who don't like math may not understand that they don't like math.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, there's a balance there, right? But I feel like more often than not, it's being, you don't enjoy it because it's not well taught versus the subject itself is not something you would enjoy.
So you're saying a good teacher would basically be an effective spokesperson for the subject that they're teaching.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And like kind of get people to want to go into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. And the ones that really inspire their students and awaken some latent passion that they didn't know that they had are always the best.
Yeah. And I think
I just don't want to hurt them. Like if we're going with your system of how to measure effectiveness of a teacher, I don't want to hurt the teacher just because they have a student who is not a math person when the teacher is teaching math.
Right. And you wouldn't want a teacher who's constantly trying to persuade every student to choose their career, like, you know, their subject as a career path, right? Like that's not good for the students, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're comparing, you know, a group of peers, it's like, well, if every student coming through this high school, you know, no student ever goes into this career path from this one class or from one teacher, and a bunch of students, you know what I mean? Like disproportionate to the population, a bunch of them go into this other career path. Like to me, that would be an indicator that there's a teacher who's doing a really good job of showing, you know, what you can do with a degree or that it's enjoyable or whatever, you know, maybe they're a really good salesman. But I think when I reflect back on my time in school, it was more often like, how does this class make me feel about this subject matter that kind of drove me toward one thing or another?
And you're saying more like the teacher has a very big impact on that.
Yeah. I think I didn't really choose engineering because I wanted to be an engineering necessarily. I just had a whole bunch of people, teachers included, who are like, man, you're really good at math and science. You should be an engineer. Right. And so it, like over time, I was kind of like, oh, that makes sense. And
he didn't choose the engineering life. The engineering life chose him.
That's exactly it. Yep. And ultimately it was a really good fit. Like over time I've been like, yeah, this was a really good idea and something that I enjoy, but that wasn't the reason that I picked it going into college.
Interesting. Ben, can I interrupt? How are you looking on time?
About an hour.
Yeah, it looks, but the recording's still going. It looks like maybe we got some introductory, they waived it or something, so we can keep going. I don't know. It hasn't timed out.
Interesting.
Well, maybe they'll hide it behind a paywall.
Yeah, or maybe we're just not made privy to it.
That'll be $15.
Yeah.
Dang it. If that's the case, well, it was good talking to you guys. This will be the hidden episode of the podcast.
Yeah. Because we're
lost episode.
Too frugal. We're too fiscally responsible.
We're trying to find that return on investment.
Yeah.
Podcasting doesn't pay right now.
Speaking of, you know, the beginning of the pod, or the whole point of the podcast was to start talking about, you know, majors that we don't think are really worth it. And I think we've done a lot of discussing on like the fundamentals of how do we go about making that decision, but we haven't actually started really just railing off.
You want to name majors. Names? Is that where we're going?
Let's start naming some names, bro.
I think it's time to start naming some names. Yeah.
Oh, baby. All right. What do you got?
Maybe. All right. Hold up. What if we just turn this to a game? I list off a major and then Ben and Jack say worth it, not worth it.
Ooh,
and we just like do that. Some rapid fire.
Okay. I like it. Okay, yep. Go.
All right, computer science.
Worth it.
Oh, that's interesting. I think there's a lot of people who are just like learning how to code and not even going to school. But there you go. Worth it.
Computer science isn't coding. That's learning. Or it's not so much coding as much it is you learn how. As far as I understand it, you learn about how computers work on a real deep down level. So you, I think, are going to be more along the people not making the software. You are going to be making the hard drives, the motherboards. There's a lot of, and maybe the firmware that goes into them. So you're like in the like nitty gritty machine code level of computer design.
But to your point, I think if you're talking like software type, that's one where I think it's more of a checkbox because there are a lot more people learning it from online stuff now. So I think you can demonstrate your skill in writing code that doesn't necessarily preclude you from getting a job without a degree.
That's more software engineering though. Not
right. Yeah, science. Yeah. Software. Then. Yeah. But anyway, I'll still say worth it.
Okay. All right. Worth it. All right. Business majors like marketing and advertising.
I'm going to say yes, just because, I'm going to say yes, because there are like psychological tips and tricks when it comes to those things. There are some nuances that I believe are there that would maybe make somebody with a marketing degree more effective than somebody who doesn't. Much closer to the line for me.
Okay.
I'll say worth it because you can, the upside for compensation is pretty high there, at least from my estimation. So maybe not entry level jobs, but you can go pretty high with that.
Okay. And then on the other side, business majors like finance and accounting.
Accounting, I would certainly think so. I don't know much about that field, but
finance is just made up.
I've always interpreted finance as like banking, like learning how to like work for a bank, balance books, that sort of stuff.
Finance, in my opinion, is learning how to make money with somebody else's money.
Okay.
Yeah, that stuff. I would say, like, I think that whole industry should be axed, if you ask me. But when it comes to like accounting, though, I want to interject. I think that's like there are such serious repercussions with doing it wrong that yes. I think the school is worth it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Finance, I would say, if you can buy a suit and some hair gel, that's probably a better investment than the degree.
Become the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yep.
I mean, those stories are so common, right? Of people who like schmooze their way in somewhere and have no qualifications. It tells me that you don't really need the qualifications.
Right.
Interesting. All right. So then communications.
No, absolutely not.
Are you talking general? Just generic?
Yeah, I mean, communications would also include things like PR and broadcast media.
No, absolutely not. We're doing broadcast media, and we have no...
Yes. We the unqualified.
Good point.
We're, in fact, diluting the pool when it comes to broadcast media. In other words, there's now it's so easy to start a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much competition. And I don't think the degree's really going to help.
The ones that have skill at it they're being recognized organically, right? They're getting followers, they're getting views. And so they're getting hired out of that pool into professional roles, or they're just keeping their own thing going. You know, they're doing the home brew and they're getting paid for it. So why why go work somewhere else?
Last I checked, Joe Rogan does not have a communications or broadcast.
I was just going to bring that up.
And he's doing just fine.
He's doing great.
But he's also the
$100 million $100 million deal he signed with Spotify.
Isn't he making more he has more. He has more. A bigger viewership than like all of mainstream media combined.
Wow.
But to be fair, he is an outlier, right? So if you look at the vast majority of communication type jobs, there's millions of jobs in run of the mill communication stuff, right? That aren't being some famous podcaster. And he didn't get to that role because he was an amazing podcaster. He got there because he was already famous and then had interesting things to say that he recorded, right?
Well, I think his fame helped advertise his show, but the show is good in and of itself. Like, he's a good interviewer. He brings on interesting people.
Yes, but like, walk with me through that. If someone in California, some random bald dude, sat down in a room with his friends and just like told each other jokes and smoked weed, right? Is that podcast gonna become the hit that Joe Rogan's is? I would argue
Is that how he got his start? Because that's not what he does now. I mean, the smoking weed, I think he does every now and then. I've seen, but he brings on people with interesting things to say and but, interviews them well.
Yes, which he's gotten to do because his podcast became successful. Early on, from what I understand and some of the ones that I've seen, and even a lot of his episodes aren't famous people. There's a blend of like his comedic friends, his MMA friends, like he just talks to friends and then, you know, he mixes in famous or interesting people as well.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't seen enough to really make that judgment call, but the ones anyway. I have seen, maybe the ones I have seen are because I was interested in who the person was talking. So right. I got a little bit of a bias going.
Yeah. I think we filter out a lot of the ones that are more kind of run of the mill. What other degrees we have, Luke?
All right. How about religion and philosophy degrees?
Philosophy, absolutely not. Religion, it depends on what you mean by that. If
you went to a secular university and studied religion, I'm a religion major.
Nah. What is that? Just like studying like the development of religion over time, or
studying different religions?
So like here's
their backgrounds,
here's,
their histories, their theologies.
This is my rule for a degree like that. If your only option when you graduate from that program is to then teach others enrolling in that program as a professor, it probably is a bad idea for a degree. And religion to me seems like one that would fall into that category of like, you're studying a religion. The only thing you can do with that, if you're going to stay in that field, is teach religion to people in that program. Like, no denomination is going to recognize you as a minister of any kind because you studied religion, unless it was within their own faith.
You're
and
saying
own
I can't become a pastor at Redeemer if I study religion at UNI?
So as an actual investment, I don't think a religion or degree in religion is worth it. But if you're, for example, an apologist, right, like Heiser or somebody who, like, I'm going to use a Christian apologist as an example. I think there's other people who'd also find it useful. But if you were like a Christian apologist and then you also have a degree in religion, now you have this sort of context of how all these other religions work. And then you can then tie in that info into your apologetics. It gives you a leg up, I think.
I would say the same about philosophy.
Oh, sure. But by itself. Okay. That's a good point. Because both of those degrees by themselves are pretty much worthless. Yeah. But if you are using them to bolster your own ability in some other field, such as being a pastor or such as being an apologist or somebody who is maybe an archaeologist, and then they also get a study in religion to kind of see, well, how does the religion, the archaeology, how do they tie together? I think that could be really useful. But by itself, yeah, what are you going to do with that?
Okay, so I have a really good example of this, in my opinion, that's local, hits close to home. I've talked to a number of graduate students at UNI who are studying geography. And I have yet to figure out what a master's in geography gets you or what you can do with that. Because last I checked, like we have really, satellites really that can take pictures of the planet.
Yeah.
Like we're not making new maps, or if we are, what, you know, like I don't know.
Well, that's cartography then.
Well, yes, making good point. Maps. Good point. Yeah. So what do you do with a master's in geography? Go work for TomTom or something? I don't know. Are they still around?
Do you know what they learn?
They exist? Google Maps?
Well, hold on. Is geography more of the lines of like why are countries divided the way that they are? Learning the history?
Isn't that
the
sociology though?
No, I don't think that's sociology. Sociology would be more on a humanity level. Right, geography might be like, why is the split between, you know, Poland and Russia the way where it is? And you kind of learn that history between the two cultures or something like that.
Okay, so according to the program description.
Speculation.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so there's geography education, so that'd be like teaching, right? There's geography information science, like remote sensing, so that would be more like, I'm assuming, GPS and geospatial system type stuff. And then human geography and physical geography, which I'm curious what those mean.
Maybe like various ethnicities and how they're distributed over the world.
Maybe. It's a very
If it ties into like an ethnocultural study, sort of idea. And then I think it can maybe, it's like a religious degree where it's like, it's not really useful in and of itself, but if it's used to bolster some other skill set, then I could see it being useful. Me speculating.
Okay. Yeah? It says on the website, why geography? Reason number one, breadth of knowledge. The average American changes careers 4 to 6 times in their lifetime. Geography majors are equipped with the knowledge and skills to move smoothly between a variety of careers.
That's not a selling point.
That is literally like saying you're not going to get a job with this degree.
That's not a selling point. And that's lie. Oh
my gosh.
That's just a blatant lie.
I mean, getting into the John Deere with your geography degree.
Reason number two, global society. Geography prepares students to work within a global community. So like you understand that we live on a planet, I guess, if you study geography.
In a society.
Shouldn't you already understand that?
There are rules. So reason number five is job growth, because the median annual wage for geographers was $80,000 in May of 2018. So
those are the employed geographers.
Okay. Yes. That's true.
Yeah. What percentage are employed?
Yeah.
That's what they don't tell you.
All five of them, all five employed geographers. So median was 84,000.
The first four reasons have almost nothing to do with any concrete measure of the actual program. It's like any college degree would give you that.
So. If there were any geography majors, listening, I would apologize for how much we're bashing the major, but you really should have seen this coming.
So apology. Sorry, not sorry.
It's kind of on you, isn't it? Like, come on.
Maybe we need to do some investigative journalism here and find out what's really going on behind the College of Geography or whatever it's called.
Ooh. Yeah, maybe it's just a front.
Next episode.
Maybe it's a front for getting a mafia degree.
Next episode, bring on a geography major from you and I and interview them.
We didn't know, not even interview. We just roast them.
The roast of a geography major.
We turn their mic off. It's just roast.
That'd be so horrible. If you're a geography major at UNI who would like to be roasted on our podcast, please reach out and let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Not even UNI. Hey, man, we're doing this remotely. Like, it could be anybody.
Absolutely.
Anywhere. Yeah. There you go. There you go. Okay, I got one or two more majors.
Okay.
Like groupings of majors. The next one would be exercise science and athletic training. You know what I'm getting at.
Ooh. I think I do. Like, personal training related.
Training, yeah.
Do you need like a full 4-year degree for that?
I'm gonna say it depends a little bit on if you want to like a personal trainer, I would say no. If you're saying like physical therapy, I would say yes.
Because for physical therapy.
I'm with Ben on that. I mean, heck, you can be a personal trainer with no education. You just need to look jacked and be a good enough salesman.
You need to look jacked. So Jack's went into personal.
This guy's fit enough. I'm sure he can teach me something or one or two things.
Yeah, I wonder, the guys who started CrossFit, or like, do they actually have degrees, or are they just really good at lifting weights and training? Yeah,
I don't know.
That's or marketing. Probably marketing.
Marketing.
Well, that too.
But they probably didn't have a marketing degree either.
That's probably true. They had an idea. They went on Shark Tank. They pitched it.
Yep.
Okay. Where's the last one?
Yeah, so I'm with Ben. Yeah.
So we're saying not worth it.
Contextually. Again, some niche like physical therapy where it'd be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't say physical therapy. Physical therapy, definitely you need a degree.
So you are just talking about like the personal like
fitness
trainer
side of things.
Yeah, exercise science, personal training, athletic training.
Then I would say,
take the time and money that you would spend getting a degree and just get fit. There you go, done. You cut right to the chase.
From what I've seen with those, a lot of those degrees, that's a lot of student athletes get those. So it's like a way to give them a degree that can keep them on the roster. And then ultimately, maybe they end up becoming an assistant coach or like a volunteer or something, but it's like, did you need that to do it? I don't think so. I think you've learned what you needed to learn along the way. I don't think the degree gave you that opportunity.
Okay. You heard it here. I feel like, I don't know if you guys have like a comment section on this, or you guys have like an email that people can respond to, but this might be that episode where you guys get some responses.
Good.
Let's get all the publicity is good publicity.
Remember, this is all of our opinion. So if any listener has like a strong disagreement, then like post it. Say, hey, I disagree about X, Y, and Z, and here's why. Let's get the discussion going. Heck, you could maybe even be a guest so we can discuss it.
What could also be a fun game would be if we tried to describe college majors poorly.
All it's humor.
What was your last one, Luke?
My last one. There's a lot to pick from. But
I'm okay with if we just keep going, by the way.
Yeah, because there's some obvious ones that like are worth it. I was like, I thought like nursing, like definitely worth it. Medicine, probably worth it, right? So I'm trying to think one that's a little more like in that middle ground, because in that middle ground, we have some good conversation and we have had some good conversation. So I'm thinking, what else?
So while you're thinking on that, left. One thing I would recommend for anyone who's listening and hasn't gone to college yet, which is probably zero people, but if you are
any teenagers,
I would recommend
watching.
There are places where you can go out and look and see the national average for how long it takes to pay back a loan on a certain degree based on like average income and average cost of the degree. So that might be a good tool where you can look at, hey, it's going to take me 40 years to pay back this degree. That might not be something you want to jump into, at least not without some forethought.
I think if you were to look that up, you'd have to, and I don't know if this metric is available, but find out if the people who took that or got that degree found jobs in that field.
Yeah, that's usually available. Yep.
Because if it's like, oh, you know, psychiatry majors or something, I'm just picking that out of the blue. You know, they pay their debt back within 5 years. Oh, great. But only like 10% of them actually got jobs as psychiatrists or something. It's like, oh, well, that's, you know, you're going to have to account for that.
Yeah.
Because ultimately they're paying back something that they didn't need.
All right. Here's one more. Social work. Worth it? Not worth it?
I'm going to guess no for a degree, but I don't know what all goes into a social work degree. Like, I don't know what they're learning about.
Ben?
So this is tough because I have friends who've gone through into social work. And here again is a case of unpaid internships on the back end. And I think, unfortunately, this is another industry. Industry seems like the wrong word to use. But anyway, another career that depends on people's good nature and like wanting to make a difference to function. And so social workers and especially in a lot of instances, can have a lot of stress. And they are not compensated very well for having to take on all that stress. So for me, I would say no, because I wouldn't want to go into social work because of that, number one. And then even if you decided, hey, I'm willing to take on the stress, like this is something that I want to do with my life, you're going to be like eking by in a lot of instances, because again, how do you quantify impact? What does it mean to society? Are we willing to pay for it? The answer in general is no. It's really hard to advise people to go into that unless they like feel a calling to do it.
It sounds like there might be a subset of majors where instead of getting a major in a college, it might be a much more effective for everybody involved, both the student and the industry and the employer, or they actually set up more of like an apprenticeship program where you are like like social work, for example, right? If you get a degree for 4 years and then you have to then take unpaid internships, why not just cut right to the chase and spend 4 years doing an internship? Because, I mean, one, even if it's an unpaid internship, that's better than an unpaid college degree that you have to pay for. You understand what I'm saying?
I think this question gets into the question of just like how education works and like why do you have to take certain classes or why do you have to take certain internships before you are deemed worthy to get out there and do the job?
Mm-hmm.
And I have thoughts. I think I have lots of thoughts.
Well, but that's what we're here for, man.
I know. We don't have a lot of time. But
we have as much time as we want, Luke.
So what I was going to say is I saw this a lot when I was working.
Part one, part two here.
Yeah, we may end up splitting it. But what I was going to say is when I was working for the university as an RA, I saw a lot of this where especially prevalent in higher education, it seems like there's just people who are supremely overqualified for the role that they have. And I'll give you some examples, like people working in admissions, like at a front desk job in admissions, it's getting to a point where like those people are required to have a master's degree in public relations or in communications or whatever. And it's,
that's because the supply is so high.
Yes, exactly. But so my point being, the requirements are increasing because there's so many people that have that degree, but the requirement isn't necessary. You don't need a master's in communications to help people fill out an application form for a university. That's just now become a criteria because the talent pool is so deep, but it's something where, you know, that criteria has no business being an actual requirement to fill that role. You could hire somebody off the street that could do the job, but there's just so many people that in order to stand out, you've got to have all these ridiculous qualifications. So that's one where I would say maybe it's not the degree itself that doesn't have to pay off, but it's like the job, because it's, you're getting paid very low entry level type wages with a lot of times an advanced degree because the talent pool is that deep.
Yeah.
It's like skewing. Yeah. The requirements.
Another flaw in our education system.
Yeah, there are plenty.
There are plenty.
So any closing thoughts or comments?
I would just advise people who aren't in college yet, like really think it through. Really think it through. Yeah. Don't be afraid to take time off to think it through. Do not just jump right into that, into the water.
And don't also think there's this limited time frame where you can go to college.
There's not. Like, yeah, that's a lie.
Yeah, because like I'm 26 right now and I'm in college and I feel fine about it. I mean, I don't look that old. That helps. But, you know, like even if I was like 30 or 40, like, and I wanted to become a teacher, like go for it, you know.
And to that point, like here's the thing. Like, if you do go into college and you do spend 4 years getting a degree that you didn't understand why you got it and you don't want to pursue it at the end, like you never even intended to, well, you're still back in square one where you're 4 years down the road and you still don't know what you're doing, but now you have to pay, you have debt. So you're better off just waiting 4 years than waiting 4 years and being in $100,000 of debt.
Yeah, I think ultimately for me, it's even if you chose a bad degree or a bad career, like life is what you make of it. You only get one shot at it, but it's never too late to make a change. So if you, like Luke, you're talking about kind of learning lessons from the first go around, as long as you're capitalizing on that and going in a direction that you want to be going, like that's great. And if it, you know, you had to learn it the hard way, that happens and people learn different ways. And so ultimately, as long as you keep getting up and keep going the direction you want to go, I think that's what's important, whether you get a degree or not, whether you get a useful degree or not. And I've seen that in play. Like I had a coworker who got his master's degree like 2 years before he retired, or guys that I was in my engineering classes in college who had worked full-time as machinists or technicians, you know, since high school. And they were in their 40s getting an engineering degree at night because they, you know, wanted to do something different. And so, I think I was always amazed by that. Number one, that they had the desire to do it and they were willing to take the risk and be bold enough to, you know, invest the time and energy and effort and money. So I think that's inspirational to me when people have the self-awareness and the self-confidence to do something that isn't on schedule, right? They don't go to college right after high school. They do something that they enjoy, and then they maybe come back to school later.
Yeah. It's all about getting that game plan. If you go in without a game plan, you're gonna get burnt. And if you have a game plan, it doesn't matter if it's right after high school or 10 years later or 20, 30 years later. It's getting to the point where you have the game plan and jumping in at that point. Even if the game plan changes when you're in college, because you're not going to be able, you can't account for that. Some people will say, this is the degree I want because of this reason and that reason, and they learn that they don't like it, and that's okay. You know, what else can you do? You did what you had to do. You went in to try to get the degree, and you learned then that's not when you wanted it. What else could you have done?
It's in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day.
So with all that, Luke, thanks for joining us for this special guest appearance today. And
yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This was fun. This was really fun talking about this and all the different tangents, man. Lots of tangents.
Yeah.
But I think a really good conversation at the end of the day.
So
indeed.
And stay tuned.
Again, if you're hearing this, we did get all the technical details figured out. So I'm going to pat ourselves on the back for that.
We think, because we still have to post it.
Well, that's the thing. You don't have to bother putting that conditional statement on here, because if we can't get it up, they're not going to hear it.
Well, I'm hearing it, so.
Well, I'm not saying it for you.
But you said if you're listening, and I was listening to you, so.
I guess.
If a bunch of guys record a podcast and no one listens to it, did it actually exist? Question of the day.
Did you study philosophy? Boom.
Oh, maybe.
All right.
No, see, he was able to get to that point without having a major.
There it is. That's the summation of all that we learned today, kids. So stay tuned for more sweet, fresh episodes of Tangential Banter in the future. Take care.
Indeed.
Peace.